Roll call, Board President Jared Cook, absent. Board Vice President Cindy Lagodakis.
Here.
Board Secretary Marlene Cushing.
Here.
Board Member Heather Kahn, absent. Board Member Joe Stratman.
Here.
Board Member Jim Roberts.
Here.
Board Member Joni Johnson.
Here. All right, and we have a quorum. Next item on the agenda is an approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
I will second it.
Just one thing to add to the agenda when we get there.
It's been moved and seconded.
Okay.
And you want to add
please.
An amendment?
And that's just that to add the Youth Advisory Committee report, please.
I move we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 And opposed? And the agenda is approved as amended. We need a motion for approval of the board minutes.
To approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And they are approved. Next item on the agenda is visitor comments. Do we have any visitors who have comments? Doesn't look like we do. How about board member comments? Marlene?
I wanted to mention the health fair. It's a tremendous undertaking from many, many departments when you think about how many days they drew bloods on people, and every time they had to set up multiple stations and bring everything there and then run hundreds of tests through the lab. And then lining up all the speakers, lining up all the presentations, the poster presentations and tables. So many departments of the hospital had great exhibits for people. So I just wanted to compliment PMC for pulling that off, Julie and everybody else. And it was, I think, very, very worthwhile.
Anyone else?
I just, Ruby's not here, but I wanted folks to know, and for Ruby and her home health team to know it, that there are compliments in the community for the Cedar Social Club. Just rave reviews for not just all the points that Ruby has talked about in terms of a great place for people to be and for caregivers to have time to run errands, but also for small details like home-baked cookies and just other aspects that just sound amazing. So thank you.
All right, moving on. We have committee reports, and the first one is Resource Committee.
Clinic and lab visits were slightly lower due to the shorter month, while hospital emergencies, long-term care services remain consistent, nursing home stays close to full capacity. Expenses were higher than expected in some areas, mainly due to staffing needs, higher utility costs due to the new building, costs of certain specialized medicines that were pre-ordered. PMC remains financially stable, strong cash reserves and investments. Additional funding is expected to in the coming months from IRS as a $2 million credit payment. The depreciation amount for the new facilities is still being finalized, and update numbers will be reflected at a future point. PMC is working on CMS reset to determine the payment or refund due for this year. Grants, the medical center continues to successfully secure and manage grants funding to support important projects and community programs. Recent award was support, recent award will support summer youth activities. PMC submitted several large funding requests totaling $1.1 million for the Rural Health Transformation Program to the state and are currently waiting for the review. These requests focused on improving facilities, upgrading equipment, expanding services, and supporting two positions, new positions that are expected to pay for themselves over time. Competition for these funds are very high statewide. The remaining HRSA grant funds of $7,308 million will be completely spent by the end of this year. Investments perform well in February. While market changes are expected from time to time, the organization's investments approach is designed to reduce risk. Cash reserves are also earning a small amount of interest.
And are there any questions for Jim? All right, moving on to long-term care quality.
Long-term care quality meeting was March 18th. They reviewed action items. Policy updates are ongoing. The falls prevention system will be operational shortly. It's going to be using sensors to detect if people are up and moving around that cannot do that safely without someone being with them. Working on policy for admissions for patients with backgrounds that could cause problems for other patients. New curtains have arrived for long-term care and the acute care side that will be put up to enhance infection control and fire safety. And finally, Pi Day happened on March 14th, and that was hugely successful.
Any questions for Marlene? Thank you very much, Marlene. And critical access hospital quality.
The committee met on March 18th and reviewed actions on the item list. The four items were completed, but there are two remaining involving communication using the Cerner platform, standardizing web accessible forms, and two pharmaceutical topics remain on the list. There are a couple items of note. The National Critical Access Hospital quality assessment results were received, and the same two of the eight elements remain unmet, the strategic planning and collection data measures that were not met in 2024. The results will be used to help target improvements. Additionally, Stephanie and PMC has signed on with a program out of the Midwest that will help provide new ideas and programs that facilitate the continuing task of making improvements in the quality of services provided. The state visit for infection care program went well. As a result of the visit, Wolf has a few items on his task list to act on, suggestions for improving the sterile processing and decontamination areas, and other suggestions, but that wraps that up.
Answer questions? Hearing none. Bylaws committee, and it says the committee met on March 5th, 2026 at 4 p.m. to review the hospital bylaws, and the process is ongoing. And then we've also added the youth advisory committee.
Okay. So the advisory committee met March 11th. The conversation centered on child care assistance and the continued work that Katie and crew are doing to straighten out or fix state and, sorry, let me rephrase that, to work with the state to get the assistance programs reinstated that were there previously. It's an ongoing effort, and staff are continuing to pursue the fix. Scholarships will continue to be available on a need basis to allow as many kids as possible to participate in programming. And there was a new program, Sponsor a SCOGGY, which was approved by the committee. This is thanks to the suggestion of a community member and the PMC staff for getting this program up and running. Community members may adopt or sponsor a SCOG student by paying the session fees in part or in full that will help offset tuition costs for families experiencing financial strain. It's a great program that will help with the scholarships. As to finances, youth programming continues to run at a deficit. The summer programming subsidizes the after-school program, which highlights both the need to resolve the state child care assistance issues as well as a continued need to try to find a sustained source of income to supplement tuition. The committee decided to increase tuition by 50 cents an hour to $7.50, which is roughly two-thirds of the actual cost of care. The safety review was completed and approved, and the summer programming is exciting. Cindy, do you have anything you want to add?
I do not.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that report.
To reports, information technology.
Hi. Well, in my report, I know I highlighted quite a few projects that we're doing. That's probably the best way for me to start is just that we are, as an IT team, we're supporting a lot of projects right now in the facility over the last few months, and they're exciting. A lot of things are new and tools that we've wanted for a long time. But I'll highlight one of them that we just started a couple weeks ago in the mostly the clinic space. It'll involve some radiology and lab collaboration. But we're rolling out a module in our electronic health record that will help the physicians and other clinical staff keep track of preventative health maintenance. And it's going to be a really good tool. We've gotten a pretty good peek at it the last couple weeks. And what it'll do is it'll just help streamline reminders for things that are maybe future ordered for a year from now or 7 years from now, just to make sure that people aren't missing those benchmarks or they're overdue. And there's a lot of other really great tools in it. If anyone wants to know a really in-depth tour of the module, I'm happy to talk about it more. But that's one of the, you know, one of the more exciting things we're doing right now. And then I also just wanted to, commend our staff, like Jesse and Nicholas and Matt. They're taking on a lot of extra work right now with how many projects we have, in addition to just supporting all of the staff day to day with the boring routine things. And everyone's been doing it with a really good attitude and excited also just to see that we're leveling up with some of the tools we're able to use in the hospital and the clinic. So.
All right, thank you very much for your report. Next up is materials management. And anybody have any questions or comments on the Melvis report?
Well, I have one comment. I noticed that there was some concern about the vehicle that's being used to run back and forth from the old facility to the new facility, you know, it seems to me that it's going to be a while before the new facility is complete. So one of the other reports further on down here also mentions hiring maybe a volunteer driver. I wonder if the hospital is, you know, would consider maybe in the future having some sort of a shuttle regularly going back and forth between the new and old facility. And you know, maybe that'd be something that could in the long run be cheaper than trying to maintain a fleet of vehicles. So I just thought, just a comment.
Wasn't the driver for the long-term caravan? Versus the material people? Huh? No, it was for them? Okay. Something else I was looking at, I guess.
All right, next report is medical records. Kim? Anybody have any questions or do you have any additional to share? Next after that is the nursing report.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Briner, the Chief Nursing Officer. And I wanted to highlight a few things. First, I'd like to acknowledge Elizabeth Hart and her retirement. She's been an excellent member of our team for the last 20 years, and I think her official retirement date is April 1st, but we're already missing her presence, but I'm just thankful for the job she's done and excited for her future with retirement. And then related to that, we did split her job apart a little bit differently than it was when she was doing it. And so Lauren Thane has taken on the MDS coordination role, which is the long-term care reporting, their quarterly reporting to Medicare and Medicaid. And that's where all of our quality metrics come from and such. So she is working closely with Helen Boggs and then can be kind of a natural backup for Helen when she's away. So that seems to be working well. Kelly Wood is now kind of taking the lead on chemotherapy, and she is loving it and doing a fantastic job. And then Jolynn Duddles is at this point the interim swing bed coordinator, and we also added discharge planning for the hospital as well as utilization review. And she has kind of blown my socks off. She's just really taken it on and is doing a fantastic job. So I'm missing Elizabeth, but I couldn't be more pleased with how people have stepped up and are really learning and growing in our area. So staffing, that's the positive part of staffing. This, the other part is we really need more nurses. We've seen a lot of growth in our department. Last time we talked about a second night nurse at all times, and we did put that into effect this fall. It's made a world of difference. Our night staff feel safe, secure, ready to meet an ambulance. You know, for a while it was, well, forever it was just one person, and it's a pretty lonely feeling. And so they're just a lot happier, as well as our call volume getting called back in has gone down. I put some graphs in my report, but it's like before the official change, we had in this, let's see, 3.5 months before we made the change, we had 262 callbacks. That means a nurse getting called in that was on call to come back and work. And after the change, after the 3.5 months after the change, we're 94. So it cut down by over, you know, it was half as many. And number of hours were drastically reduced as well. So the issue, one of the main issues that nurses had was we hate taking call because you're just like, you know, do I have to go? And now you only get called in if something is really, if you're really needed. You're not called in for little minor things. So anyway, so it's been a really great change. And other highlights, we have another scope clinic coming up next week. It's full. We have 20 patients scheduled. And all sorts of other things going on. And then we did have a survey this week, an unannounced survey, both in long-term care and acute care, dealing with kind of the unusually high number of deaths that we've had in our facility. And you've all seen them on the post office door, and it's just been something in the community. And so they came in and did a record review and talked to just a few people, and there were no findings, but they felt like they needed to come and just make sure everything was going okay. Yeah, any questions on my report?
I just had one, Jen. So the graph on page 20 that shows the average number of critical access patients and long-term care residents per day. Mm-hmm. I can see the bottom line is, or the top line rather, is long-term care.
Yeah.
And the smaller numbers in the darker line are critical access patients. I know it's swing bed or some of those, yeah. But
I can explain.
There are other ones there. Yeah. I just wondered what those other.
So I thought it would be kind of interesting because you might see our census as like two swing beds and one acute care patient. And it doesn't seem like that many patients that we're caring for. But when you put them all together, so the acute care is obviously inpatient hospitalizations. Swing bed is both our skilled swing bed patients who are there for therapy or wound care. And then also our ICF level swing bed for people who are either waiting for a bed or are in that status for a different reason. Our outpatient treatment numbers, so the number of people who come in and have like a blood transfusion or chemotherapy or things. Observation are people who aren't quite admitted but need to spend the night. And then ER patients. So what I tried to show is just the number of days that the acute care staff are taking care of every day. And you'll see in long-term care, we have one nurse for more patients, but a lot more aides. And in the acute side, we have two nurses and only one aide to take care of those people.
Thank you very much. Next report on the list is activities. Any questions about Alice's report? Then we have new facility. Justin Wetzel and Arcadis submitted a report. Did you want to give any more, Justin, or?
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Justin Wetzel with Arcadis. For the new facilities, we are continuing to work with the civil engineer, Respect, and Dawson, and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, ADEC, to close out the SWIP. That's the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. And we've kind of been stuck in a little bit of a loop with those guys because our future site doesn't have all of the storm drain systems that would normally be installed on the final completion of the campus, basically. So it's something where, in order for us to close it out, they ask it for it to, everything to be complete, and obviously it's not. So it's kind of a temporary permanent stabilization, which is kind of a little bit of a middle ground. We're working through getting specifications from the Department of Transportation. They have kind of a benchmark for us to be able to meet certain criteria to say that it's not 100% complete, but it is temporarily stabilized to achieve those levels and acceptance. So just kind of some challenges with the state on that. It's nothing. It's actually an amazing condition over there with the shot rock. It's really the perfect type of material to have for actual stabilization. There's not organic soils or anything to deal with. So it's just at this point, you know, we did like six different revisions, and we knocked off about 18 concerns that they had, and we're down to like two. So it's just a matter of time, hopefully, before we can achieve closeout on that. Any questions on that? Okay, the work building is complete. We did get the UPS, the uninterrupted power supply for the magnet, fully operational. And that was kind of the last remaining scope of work for the work building, which was an extra kind of add-on at the post-substantial completion. So any questions on the work building? Okay, moving on to the future long-term care and hospital. We did come up with a concept design that was sent out along with a grant application to help cover design fees, which is basically the next step. And so we've broken out that concept design to kind of outline both the phase three and phase four portions of the work. And that includes a timeline. So basically the next steps with the design is to be able to get additional funding and then advance the long-term care into a full construction set. What that would do would allow us to be able to be positioned to be able to construct in 2027 pending actual construction funding through a different source. So it's all about timing and seasonal constraints with construction. So really the goal and the focus at this time is to be positioned to be able to make a move. And that part of that is having a shovel-ready site, which we have. And then the other part of that is having a full set of construction drawings ready to be able to construct. Any questions on any of that?
Thank you very much for your report.
I added a couple of, thank you.
Is there more? You're more than welcome. Okay. Moving on to quality, Stephanie submitted her report, and I see you are online. Does anyone have any questions for Stephanie, or do you have more to share?
Good evening. Thank you for having me. Nothing additional. I just wanted to kind of highlight a lot of the different projects that are going on in the hospital, and so included not only projects that I'm working on, but also the departmental managers and the good work they're doing. So this is just a bigger sampling of some of the quality assurance activities that are happening. Excited to have the workplace satisfaction survey out, and we've had over half the staff respond so far. This is the same survey that you might remember Katie Bryson reporting out in May of 24. So kind of just doing a little pulse check on workplace culture and continue to collect ideas from staff on improvement and give acknowledgement also where things are going wonderful. So yeah, I look forward to reporting more on that probably May, June timeframe. So yeah, and happy to answer any questions you have.
Yes. I have a question on the Rural Health Transformation Program proposal that would expand patient navigator services and entitlement enrollment. But that sounds very much the position right now that Brandy Boggs is doing. So is this adding hours to that position, or what are we envisioning?
Well, and Katie, you're welcome to chime in here. This was kind of a wish list of ours to kind of expand the patient navigation role to someone, not just Brandy, who's doing amazing work in a hybrid status, but also have an additional role here in Petersburg full time to help with those entitlement programs. So, yeah, it's an expansion of the service.
And go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
And if you can turn up your volume, go ahead. We are having a little bit of a problem hearing here.
How about now? Is that a little better?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to add on to what Stephanie was saying, the focus of that is to build some capacity in what Brandy is doing currently, and providing some more services to bridge not just our long-term care or adult day program or home health, but also in our primary care. We're expanding out direct primary care services within the clinic, and there's going to be some navigation that's required on some of these new programs. We also see a large number of people in the community who don't understand their health plans. And, you know, it's very complicated, and the health plans tend to have things, and they change things year to year. And sometimes people come into the clinic and they don't know that their insurance doesn't cover something, or their prevention only covers a certain number of things. And often that leads to a concern or a complaint that they had an unexpected bill or something of that nature. And really, we want to build out a position that assists in education and learning their health plans and strategizing on how what their deductibles are, what their health plan covers, what prevention services they have. So it's a little bit more than just some of the enrollments services that Brandy's been doing, which is great. She's the higher level. That's the higher level plans. But really, we're trying to almost build a model of a tiered structure where we have somebody here that's working more on the clinic side as well.
Other questions? All right, thank you very much, Stephanie and Phil. Next up is infection prevention, and Rachel Candle submitted a report.
Thank you. I'm Rachel Candle, and I am our one infection preventionist. So I did have a visitor the end of February from the state who does the same job as me. And she was able to give us a lot of good advice. She talked with doctors, pharmacy, management, nursing, lab, a variety. So she gave me, yeah, a lot of things to work on. One of the main things, though, has been working in our sterile processing and decontamination areas, especially with our scopes starting back up. So Wolf has been doing a great job of doing some construction in there lately, putting in a sink for us, putting in some new cabinets. We've done a lot of cleaning out of old equipment that we don't need. Yeah, just getting ready for that. And of course, I work with a variety of, you know, with the nursing staff, but all the departments. I'm going to actually start going to more of the home health meetings and getting involved there. And look, you know, I keep track of infections, of antibiotic use, and so far, long-term care, we're doing good this year. Any questions? Okay, thanks.
And next up is Phil Hofstetter, executive summary.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Am I coming in okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Could be a little louder, but we can hear you.
I'll try to raise my voice a little bit. Well, I'm in, sorry for not being there. I'm in DC this week as a parent and chaperone for the close-up program with the kids. And I just want to put a shout out to the school for just an eye-opening experience here with seeing the kids. They're just amazing. And Cindy Fry, who's the lead here, I'm just so, I'm so impressed with the group and also with the teachers, Stephanie Powick's here as well. So yesterday, the Congressman Begich, Senators Sullivan and Murkowski all gave a lot of time to the kids, and they asked some pretty tough and very very in-depth questions. So anyway, huge shout out to our school. It's a pleasure to be a part of this and see the kids thrive within the community. So and with that, a couple of things, highlights from my report. We had Congressman Begich also come here into Petersburg. And want to thank the borough, the assembly, and the mayor for helping coordinate that visit. And as Congressman Begich was able to tour our facility and spent quite a bit of time with us, a couple of hours, both touring the old facility or the main campus and up at the new work building. So always important to have a firsthand view on our facilities and the needs that we have in replacing it. So I'm hopeful that it's going to make a difference. We did submit our congressionally directed spending CDS applications for appropriations funding for both Congressman Begich and Senator Murkowski in the hopes that we could keep the project moving along. So that was well received. Congressman Begich did recognize me yesterday, and that I always take that as a good sign since they're seeing so many people. Highlight also the health fair. Huge shout out again to Julie Walker and her team for putting that on, Violet and her team for doing all the labs. It's just a huge team effort on that. It's very extensive, and it was well received. We had over 488 lab draws, and I can't remember the number for the actual health fair, but a good turnout for the health fair as well. And was there a question? I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, there were 177 attendees.
Oh, great. There you go. Perfect. All right, under our workforce, as Stephanie had mentioned, we're putting our survey together every 2 years now. We did a survey 2 years ago just to get a sense or a pulse, if you will, of the staff and how they're doing, if there's things that we could improve on. We took the results of the last survey and we changed some things to improve the workforce wellness with their ideas. And so we're going to take that information and if there's some interest in doing things differently, we can. This will also be presented at our employee forum. So we'll have some preliminary results at the employee forum, which we're hoping to be in early May, I believe, is what we're looking at. We have a TBD date on that, but we're looking at early May. I want to thank Brandy Bogg for coming down, and she did a number of sessions, at least four, I believe four sessions for the community on asset protection and planning for long-term care and Medicaid. These are very important, especially in preparation for your loved ones and elderly for planning on long-term care. These are great sessions and a wealth of information on getting that started. So you can you don't want to be in a position to have that occur when you're in need. You want to do it well in advance. So thank you, Brandy, for putting that together. A few things on my list here. We put the CDS application together, and in as part of that process, we have to get letters of support. So we had a couple of letters of support. The Commissioner Hedberg provide a letter of support. We had Representative Himshute provide a letter of support. We had the CEO of the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association. We had the CEO of Bartlett. And more importantly, we had Senator Stedman provide a letter of support, and I put all those in the packet so you can see those. I was very happy and very proud to see those letters of support going into those applications, and hopefully we'll get some positive results out of that. All right, somebody had mentioned the statistics. Oh, early on, I think it was Jim had mentioned it from the Finance Order Resource Committee. The statistics are pretty steady. We had certainly had a higher amount of inpatient and swing bed stays and inpatient in February, but otherwise pretty steady. We're focusing on increasing our specialty visits, so you can see a list towards the end of my report where you can see the dates on some follow-ups on psychiatry. We had Dr. Sunkis in person in February, and he's continuing doing his telehealth visits, and he's very pleased with us and working with us as well for hopefully a longer time. Integrative medicine, we still have Dr. Heyer doing integrative medicine. Optometry clinic, Dr. Kapp is coming in on a regular basis. Dr. Harrison from Wrangell has done some endocrinology, and hopefully we can set that up on a rotation. Scopes are occurring again. Thank you, Jennifer Briner, for really spearheading that and putting on that agenda and getting that back on a regular basis. Dr. Taggart is coming in for a second visit already in April, so those are occurring. And Cameron French is coming this spring. Yeah, we're still working on trying to get orthopedics here. I've had a couple of discussions. I'm trying to work with a group out of Juneau to see if we can build out that. One thing of note, I know Jason's going to do his report on finance, but I just want to statistically, we took over the accounts receivable, the billing, and really targeting the AR in 1 year ago. In March, so this month of a year ago, and at that time we had 96 days in AR, and we've always hovering up and down in that area, and really hard to get a handle on that. And I'm really proud of the work the team has done. We're steadily in the 50s. We're at 58 in March, and really amazing work that has consistently coming down. You don't see those peaks and valleys as much. It's pretty steady. Even if it bumps up a day or two here and there, it's really on a steady decline, which is amazing, and it shows in recoup of cash. So those are really, really important, and I want to put a shout out to that group. One last thing is update is the RHTP, the Rural Health Transformation applications were put in, and we still haven't heard back. Katie's on, and she can comment a little bit on that, but not much to report other than we're still pending and waiting for the state to have a return. Katie had shared some statistics through email today or earlier this week, where there is almost 1,800 letters of interest that were submitted to the state through 864 organizations. And the request was $2.5 billion. That's a pretty impressive amount. And you know, how do we rate on that? We don't know, but one thing that's in our favor of those organizations, one out of five were not based in Alaska. So I know there's sort of an Alaska approach. So hopefully that'll work in our favor as well. So pretty interesting, you know, just from the stats, and hopefully we can hear some more some results soon. That's a lot of applications to go through. One last thing on the CON. We did reach out to the state on the certificate of need for the MRI and the work building, and they gave us a date that we would hear no later than April 23rd. So that is the date from the state. Thank you. Any questions?
You have just answered my question, so thank you for that. Anyone else? Thank you very much, and thank you for staying up late and calling in. Alrighty, next up is our financial report, Jason.
So I presume you all can hear me. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, excellent. I'll try to speak loud as well. I hear it's a little light on that side. So luckily, you know, everybody's given a piece of my report. So that's the good thing about going last. So we'll try to get through this quickly. As was indicated, clinic volumes were fairly typical for the month, even though it was a short month. Radiology, lab procedures, same thing. Home health down just a tad. Emergency room visits, very consistent. Acute care days, 41, that was up a little bit as was commented on. So were swing bed days. And long-term care days were a little light, mainly because it was a short month, but I think we were also down. We had one empty bed or so. Coming down to the financials, you can see here that the inpatient revenues due to that higher census was higher, 790 against a budget of 514. Outpatient was good. At 1,036,000 compared to 930. Long-term care was just slightly below budget, about 23,000, and clinic was down just a little bit, another 23,000. So reasonably strong for the month, gross revenues at 2.8 million. Contractual allowances. We did hold off a little bit on the contractual allowance. We're releasing some allowance for Medicare. We perceive that they have underpaid us, and that in the interim cost report that they will provide us with some additional compensation. So we released about 300,000 there. So net patient revenues, 2.4 million against a budget of 2 million. So reflects that additional 300,000. 340B is down slightly from what we had budgeted. There was a program that went into place in January. It's impacting every organization. Had to deal with Medicare getting to take the 340B benefit instead of the facilities. The PERS USAC, that's paying for the utilities. So with the work building, there's more grant revenues there. Coming down to our expenses, looks like our expenses are up about $390,000. A piece of that is in general salaries and wages, contract labor due to some short staffed. We have some agency employee benefits. Supplies is a little higher. I think that's due to infusion drugs. Purchase services, utilities a little higher because of the work building as well as the winter months. So income for the month, $300,000, once again, due in large part to releasing those funds from the Medicare interim cost report they were anticipating. Investments were reasonably strong, interest expense normal. Still have a little bit of money that's coming through with regards to the construction project for work, the final fixtures and equipment. So showing about $495,000 net income for the month. Year to date, $4,555,000. A couple of things here. This is the balance sheet, our cash account, $2.3 million. As we indicated, we should be receiving a check here shortly. Then the next month, with regards to the employee retention tax credit, there'll be two checks that we received because we applied for 2 months. So we'll keep you posted on when both of them arrive. Investments, another $2 million, so $4.4. And then with regards to our long-term investments, there's just under $5 million there, so fairly strong. All the other balance sheet accounts reconciled and fairly typical, nothing to really comment on. And then I'll share some statistics here. So you can see the contractual allowances come down. We typically average about 18% over the course of the year. It was a little higher last 3 months. And so we're seeing that back off there. Charity care, usually less than 1%. Bad debts, we, because of the recovery in the accounts receivable, we're collecting accounts that we had set aside as a reserve for bad debt. So you're seeing credits there. Operating margin, 11%. Total margin, 16. Days cash on hand, 120 days. It's absolutely tremendous. You know, I remember 3 years ago when I first started, I think it was down around 70. So glad to get this up into a normal, healthy range for an organization. This is certainly very helpful at that area. Gross days in ER, 61. I know our numbers are a little different than Phil's. Phil's, the numbers he's quotes are, we get off of hot off the press every day from our dashboard for revenue cycle. These include some additional accounts, I think, for home health and nursing home, and that might not be in the Cerner system, but very similar. But you can see there that we've come down, and that is what's produced the additional cash in the bank that's also in our investments. So we've talked about moving some of that to the long-term investments. So watch for that here in the next little bit as we get that processed. Okay. Days in accounts payable, 29. We like to be below 30 there. Okay, that's all I have. We're working on the budget here shortly and some other important projects, direct primary care, a couple of things of that nature. But that's all I have. Any questions for financials?
See any? And was Katie going to give a report on grant status as part of financials?
I certainly can. If you'd like to revisit the grant report, I'm very happy to. Were there particular questions, or would you like me to run through the report?
Just because of the sound quality, Katie, if you don't mind speaking just a little bit louder and a little bit slower, just so everyone can hear you.
Sure. Is that any better?
Yes, it is.
And just if there are any important points, I didn't want to leave you out.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Yeah. I think it's pretty much covered in the report. I'm very happy to go through it. And I know that the RHTP is a topic of great interest to us all. So if there were specific questions about the RHTP, please let me know. Let's see. There we go. So, of course, the good news was already shared earlier in the call that we were fully funded that $20,000 Alaska Community Foundation Camps Initiative grant for a third year in a row, really a testament to Katie Holman's Orca Camp program and the impressive results and impact of that in the community. So that's pretty exciting. And then, of course, we have our 7 RHDP letters of interest that went out to the state. And as Phil described, they are, Alaska Community Foundation, as the state's intermediary, is slowly working through those. We don't yet have any concrete information about their process to do that or their time frame for doing it or the next steps, because, of course, there will be another phase to this application process to provide more detailed information to the state. But hopefully they will continue to move quickly and will communicate some of those updates soon. Were there any questions about those specific requests?
I'm not seeing any, but thank you for that recap.
Of course. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right, moving on in the agenda, old business, housing update. And Cynthia, did you have some information on that?
Hi, Cindy Newman, HR. So we currently still have the same amount of apartments. We are going to lose one just because it will naturally come off due to we only rented it during the winter.
I didn't get that.
Oh,
could
I'm
you
sorry.
Try again?
Sorry. I don't know how that happened. That was just my phone, and Siri had a question, I guess.
So that's the only change is losing the one rental
right now, and then we are anticipating when we need an MRI tech, so we will need. I'm not sure if we'll need another apartment then as well. So if we bring in a traveler, which is currently our plan. So even though we're losing one, we may be gaining another one. So and in HR, and especially with apartments and vehicles, it's just best to be flexible and positive.
Sounds good. All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda, new business. And there is no new business listed on the agenda. And we have our next meeting scheduled for Thursday, April 30th at 5:30 p.m., if that works for folks. I'm seeing heads nod. And then we need a motion to go into executive session.
I move we go into executive session to consider medical staff appointments and any legal concerns.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We will take a 5-minute break and we will go into executive session. Thank you, everybody, for attending and your reports and for calling in.